indictment, a formal written charge of crime, is the basis for trial of the accused. Indictment. The story you're about to hear is from New York City and is based on stories of the criminal law, with authentic procedures as detailed by Eliezer Lipsky, former Assistant District Attorney of New York. It is the Assistant District Attorney who directs criminal investigations, assembles facts and witnesses, builds the case to a just indictment.
Yes, Miss Levinson. A Mr. Dell, Wilbur Dell to see me. Dell. The attorney? Oh, yes, the writer. Yeah, all right, send him down. Me and my big mouth.
Now what?
Oh, I got involved in a literary conversation at a cocktail party some time ago. A fellow there started flaring his nostrils and champing at the bit when I said I was an assistant DA.
And you said, drop around the office someday when you're in the neighborhood. Well, don't brush him off on me.
Writers.
Come in.
Well, hello. Mr. Dell, I'd like you to meet Detective Tom Russo. Mr. Russo's attached to this bureau.
I do.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Dell. Mr. McCormick, I
put it on that. It can wait, Detective Russo. It can wait.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Dell, what can we do for you?
Help me write the last chapter of my book.
What?
I just need a little information. Well, a lot of information. About a crime of the torrid 20s. You see, in my book, I'm devoting a chapter to each aspect of American life in the 20s. I've got one I call The Man Who Walked Away.
Judge Mountain.
Right. Another I call The Day the Bottom Fell Out.
Wall Street, Black Friday, And what's your title for the chapter on crime?
And then there was one.
And there was one. All right, I'll bite. One what?
Detective Russo?
I pass.
Well, surely you haven't forgotten the two boys who killed Honey O'Keefe in their parents' penthouse.
Larry Harder and Jack DeLessis, of course.
Two scions of the department store dynasties. Brilliant youngsters with great careers ahead of them.
Yeah, killing a 17-year-old waitress and dumping her in Staten Island.
I don't get your title, and then there was one.
I'm surprised at you. Harder died in jail. DeLessis is serving life. He's been in prison for 30 years. In a way, a parallel to that Leopold and Loeb case.
And you want access to the records. Well, as a citizen, you're entitled to them. Anything that isn't in the confidential file.
Well, I thought that you, perhaps as an insider...
Even if it was 100 years old. But I'll make everything you're entitled to available to you. Detective Russo will take you to the file room down the hall.
Yes, but I thought, Mr. McCormick, that with your insider...
The answer is no. I don't like the idea.
Why not?
Why drag that up all over again? Why not let sleeping dogs lie?
Is that what you think of a man who's been in prison from his 19th year to his 49th? A dog?
Aren't you twisting my words? What purpose, beyond getting you and your publisher's royalties, what purpose will be served by dragging him through all that filth again? Hasn't the man suffered enough?
You don't understand, Mr. McCormick. I'm going to get Jack DeLessis out.
Caught a nasty cold? Don't just sit around and suffer. Science has told us something wonderful to do for relief of distress. Today, scientists say to clear away most cold miseries, clear away congestion. Sinus congestion that causes headache. Nasal congestion that blocks breathing. Throat phlegm with its choking discomfort. Bronchial irritation that starts coughs. Yes, to clear away those cold miseries, clear away congestion. And today, there's a specialized new medicine designed to do that fast. Four-way liquid cough and cold medication. Taken as directed, with the first dose, feel sinus pressure and headache clear. Feel runny nose dry and open up. Breathe freely. Feel sore throat being soothed. Choking cough is eased. Yes, with four-way liquid, you clear away congestion and you clear away worst cold miseries. Working through the bloodstream, it reaches all those congested areas and works fast because it's liquid. So to clear away cold suffering, clear away congestion. Get new four-way liquid cough and cold medication only 98 cents.
Well, Mr. Dell, so you're going to get the Lessips out of jail.
My story is going to show that with today's knowledge of psychiatry, he would have been sent to an asylum for cure, returned to society as a useful individual, instead of having to rot in Dannemora.
Got it written already, huh?
Well, that's not exactly fair, Mr. McCall.
Do you have any idea what must happen before a prisoner can be released? And how little publicity has to do with it?
I do. As for publicity, an aroused public
can have absolutely no effect upon the parole system of the state of New York, upon the governor's right of pardon, upon the proper functioning of a system that's been set up
to keep men in jail at society's expense.
Detective Russo, show Mr. Dell to the
file. Wait a moment,
Detective Russo.
Mr. McCormick, you spoke of the parole system. Now, tell me who...
Division of Parole, 140 Hudson Avenue, Albany. You want to know anything about them, go see them.
I intend to. But if you could give me an inkling of the kind of people they are...
Honest people. Hard-working public citizens working for peanuts at a responsible job.
No, I mean, what kind of personalities are they? Are they psychiatrically oriented, or do they think strictly in penological terms?
Oh.
Is there any social work background or purely political, purely police?
Well, I'm just going to tell you one thing about the parole commission. You can't get to them. Not with money, not with pressure, and certainly not with a chapter in a book.
Not even when the entire book will set up the cynical, neurotic, hectic background against which Jack DeLessis found himself involved in the crime.
I know. Society is the criminal. No, Mr. Dell, it can't be done. Write all you want. Nobody's going to stand in your way. Settle for the bestseller list. Don't expect anything to come Jack DeLessis' way. Better men than you have tried and failed. You will, too. Like to bet. Well, Verdell.
Mr. Dell, I have a message from the publisher. Quote, committee shaping up fine. Just got that, Senator. Hurry, revisions as suggested. Unquote.
Thank you.
Mr. Dell, it's final on that radio and TV interview. Is there any chance of having Jack DeLessis on with you?
You tell the network people DeLessis doesn't talk through anyone but me.
Wilbur Dell.
Dell, a report on syndication. 89 papers carrying the series entire, and 102 are taking the DeLessis piece alone. How about that, huh?
Fine. Will you do me a favor and see that a set of clips goes to Mr. Edward McCormick, Assistant District Attorney, Special Bureau, New York County.
Twisting the knife. He writes well, you have to admit that.
Huh?
Here, get a load of this. Three generations of criminals have passed Jack DeLassip's cell. 30 years ago, the whisper would ask,
that the kid who murdered the girl?
20 years ago, the voices would say, he what? Oh, yeah, yeah, the girl. What was her name? Wasn't there another guy in on that? 10 years ago, the Lessifs. Who he?
Think it'll get him any place?
Who? Dell or DeLessifs?
Both.
Nowhere. I tell you, Tom, this is a different age. True. You can get the public excited about last night's crime, today's tragedy, the kid in the well, the corpse in the oil drum, today's news. But a 30-year-old murder?
Yeah, but when it's like that one...
There have been a couple of more important murderers in the headlines since then, Tom, and people have forgotten about them, too. Don't want to read about them. Don't want to remember them.
Who?
Well... Schickel Gruber, Alois, alias Adolf Hitler. Djugashvili, Joseph, alias Joseph Stalin. To say nothing of hundreds of war criminals. The public doesn't care.
When the war criminals get out? Don't you think they might care when a one-shot killer stays in? Special Bureau, Russo.
McCormick, please. Albany is calling.
Just a minute. Ed, on three. Albany.
Albany. Roll board. McCormick.
Mr. McCormick, this is Hayden Rock, Governor's Secretary.
Yes, Mr. Rock.
The governor just set a hearing for 3 months from date for Jack DeLessifs.
I see. Just a minute, Mr. Rock. Tom, they got to the governor. Go on, sir.
I like the way you put things together down there. Can you give us an informal report from the district attorney's point of view?
Well, yes. Yes, I suppose I could do that. 3 months from date, the hearing, who's going to appear?
For DeLessifs? That writer Dell's got a high-powered committee of citizens together.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting the money from the book sale, syndication, radio and TV interviews, whatnot, into the case.
I see. Well, all right, Mr. Rugg. I'll get you a report as soon as I can. I'd better begin by going up to see the Lessifs myself. Now, how do you like that?
I take it you don't.
Now, wait a minute, Tom. You think I'm against the Lessifs?
Yeah, looks like.
You don't know me yet, huh?
Well,
I'm not against anybody using the last ounce of legal tactics to get justice. Don't get me wrong. I've checked the records. I think the Lessifs got justice. But he's got a right to go to the governor.
Why the blood pressure?
Because I don't like a writer or anybody battening on the corpse of a helpless prisoner, that's why. If I thought he was helping the Lessifs, fine. I'd be with him all the way. But look at this. Syndication, radio, TV, full-page ads, magazine pieces. The Lessifs, the Lessifs, the Lessifs. It's becoming as well-known as what? As
Davy Crockett.
All right, good enough. And the public got tired of that kind of stuff, too. But the serious danger is that it's pressure, Tom. It's all pressure. Makes it harder on DeLessifs than silence.
I wonder what he thinks.
Well, that's why I'm going up to see him. Strange.
Hmm?
Harder and DeLessifs. The criminals of their time. I knew their names before I ever knew I'd study law, much less be a prosecutor. Harder and DeLessifs. Murder personified. And now there is one. Morning, Warden.
Well, 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 Mr. McCormick, Mr. McCormick. Oh, don't leave, Trusty.
I was going to get the Lessifs, Warden.
Well, in a moment. Just sit down a second. Right there. You recognize the Trusty McCormick?
I certainly do. I sent him up 3 years ago, 20 to life. How's he doing?
Fine. Do you remember anything else about him?
Well, I can't say. I know he wasn't very bright. Some doubt he understood what was going on, as I recall. That's why the others went to the chair. Why do you ask?
Well, you see. Trusty, come here.
Yes, sir.
You remember Mr. McCormick?
Oh, sure.
Well, now show him what you can do, Trusty.
Oh, what?
Go on now, Trusty, here. Use this. Open it anywhere and start right in.
I have to?
Go on now. Just open it up and let it rip.
Oh, shucks. Okay, yeah. All right, I'll read from the 140th. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually. They are gathered together for war. they have...
All right, trustee. Now go bring in the lessons.
Yes, sir.
So, he reads, writes, figures, helps in the commissary.
What are you trying to prove, Warden? What's it got to do with the Lesseps?
This man was illiterate.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Well, nice going.
We didn't teach him.
Who then? You mean the Lesseps did?
That's right. The Lesseps has taught over 200 men to read and write since he's been here. Opened new worlds for them.
Hmm.
He's a model prisoner. To me and my predecessors. Cooperative, intelligent, useful. He's remade men, McCormick. Remade them.
How about himself?
I sincerely believe.
I take it you think he should be free.
Should have a chance, yes. Now see for yourself. I'll leave you alone. Come in. Oh, Jack, this is Mr. Edward McCormick, Assistant District Attorney. I'll leave you two alone. Just push that buzzer when you're through, Mr. McCormick.
All right. Well, sir, you know what this is about?
Yes, sir.
Has Mr. Dell been to see you?
No, sir, he wrote.
Mm-hmm. About this move for a pardon, do you have anything you want to tell me?
No, sir.
Aren't you interested? Aren't you hopeful?
Hope?
Yes, hope. You've got some powerful people pleading for you. Don't you ever let yourself think it might come through this time? After all, how long have you been in?
Oh, 28, maybe 30 years.
Don't you know?
What difference does it make? I'm here.
Well, yes, but you might get out.
What difference would that make? It's all right here. I've got books to read. 3 meals a day, time to think.
What do you think about?
The books I read.
How about the crime you were sent here for?
What about it, sir?
Do you think of it?
No.
Not anymore, is that it?
No, sir. I never did.
Let me ask this. Do you think you got justice?
I think so.
You think so?
Yes. I mean, what else could the judge do?
I'll put it this way. Do you think you've earned your freedom?
Earned? What do you mean, earned?
Your good behavior, the men you've helped from ignorance, taught to read and write. What's the matter?
What do they do with the reading? Find out who's ahead in baseball? What good does it do?
Well, then why do you do it?
Gives me something to do.
Let me ask you again. Do you care about getting out? Don't you have any hope?
Hope?
Or have you given it up long ago?
Never had any. Mr. McCormick.
Yes?
Hope, happiness, freedom, imprisonment, sorrow, despair, remorse. No.
What no?
They're not part of my makeup.
30 years inside do that to you, Jack DeLesseps?
No, of course not. I never had any.
Any what?
Emotions. So when you ask how I feel about my possible release, all I can tell you is very interesting. No, not very, just interesting. What else can I say?
Then you don't care what happens at the governor's hearing?
Not very much. No. Do you?
All right, now stop pacing and listen to me, Dell. Where we all made our mistake was in thinking DeLesseps was a human being like ourselves.
He is. McCormick, I lived that case. Talked to everybody connected with it who's still alive. Lawyers, judges, police, schoolmates of the boys.
Ah, everybody but DeLesseps.
It's not my fault I couldn't get in.
Be that as it may, he isn't human. Look,
One child is born deaf, another dumb, some blind, some with no hand, some with what have you, no sense of color, tone, pitch.
What are you getting at, Ed?
Just this. We understand physical deformation, physical lacunae, the lack of obvious normal attributes.
But the lesser...
was born blind to love, hate, friendship, emotion.
Is that why he laughed and joked during his trial?
No. He told me the most shocking thing of all. He didn't laugh because he was cruel. He said he imitated the people around him. That's how he knew how to behave. They laughed, he laughed. No emotions.
And this is the man, the monster I want to set free.
Special Bureau, Ruto.
Oddly enough,
just a minute,
I was on your side for a while, too.
All right.
Until I met him.
Yes, sir, I'll tell him.
It actually didn't make any difference whether or not the governor will take my report into consideration. Yeah, Tom, who was it?
Albany.
What's the word, Detective Russo?
They turned him down.
I wonder what did the trick.
Obviously, your report.
No, I'm not so sure. Maybe it was your reporting. Yeah, if we'd all left him alone and let justice take its course, maybe he'd have gotten out on a routine parole board application sooner or later.
I goofed. I'd still have liked to see him, well, walk into the sunshine.
Off the record, so would I. Tom.
I don't know. You say, walk into the sunshine.
Well, literary talk.
No, you put it nicely. The trouble is, he'd still be cold. All the way through to the heart. Mr. Dell, you did a good job of merchandising, if you let me talk writer talk. But the goods was no good. Give me a good, honest axe murderer every time.
Detailed by Eliezer Lipsky, former assistant district attorney. The names of all persons and places were changed. Indictment is written by Alan Sloan, produced by Nathan Kroll, and directed by Paul Roberts. Nat Pullen is starred as Edward McCormick. Jack Arthur is heard as Tom Russo. Also in the cast were George Petrie, Bill Smith, Roger DeCoven, Maurice Totlin, Sam Raskin. This is Stuart Metz, inviting you to listen next week at this same time for another indictment. CBS Radio will score another goal on New Year's Day as most of these same stations bring you our play-by-play broadcasts of the two year-end football classics, the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl games. From the Orange Bowl, CBS News sports experts will call the thrills in the Oklahoma-Syracuse contest. Syracuse will be making its second appearance at the Orange Bowl this year with an 8-1 record. Sporting a 9-1 record, Oklahoma will make its fourth appearance. And there'll be plenty of excitement at the Cotton Bowl, too, where Texas Christian will be battling it out with the Air Force Academy. The Texans have made it with an 8-2 this year, and the Air Force Academy is the Cinderella team of college football with 9 wins, no losses, and 1 tie to date. No matter where you go, no matter what else you're doing on New Year's Day, hear CBS Radio's on-the-spot broadcast of the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl games, exclusive on CBS Radio. Get it first, get it right, the latest news on the CBS Radio Network.